chapter 7 text number 2 jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshatah yajnatva neha bhuyonya jnatvayam avashishyate. And friend, in the beginning of the fourth chapter, this explanation was given by the Lord, and it is again confirmed here. Complete knowledge can be achieved only by the devotee of the Lord in disciplic succession directly from the Lord. Therefore, one should be intelligent enough to know the source of all knowledge, who is the cause of all causes, and the only object for meditation in all types of yoga practice. When the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known and nothing remains unknown. The Vedas say, Kasmin bhagavo vijyate sarvam idam vijyatam bhavati. Om ajnanatimirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuranmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Hare Krishna. So before we start with the explanation of this verse, there was one baseball player in America. He was a star performer. But the special quality with this particular player was, he used to play well regardless of what kind of match he was playing. In the sense that a good player, he requires a good challenge to exhibit his full form. Only when there is a good challenge, the best in him comes out. If the match is an easy win, then he plays also in a very sluggish way. But this particular player, he used to play well every time, as if it is a very challenging, tough match. So someone asked him, how is it possible? How do you have so much of enthusiasm that regardless of what kind of match you are playing, you perform so well? How do you maintain that spirit of good performance all the time? So this player said that every time I am playing, I think in this way. There could be one boy somewhere in the stadium who is watching me play for the first time. There could be at least one boy like that. So for his sake, I have to perform very nicely. We are speaking on a material level, but Srila Prabhupada, in one sense, the purports he gave, we can see that same enthusiasm. In the middle of the night, he used to get up and write these Bhaktivedanta purports, and they are so perfect. Every purport, if you see the entire Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam and entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, whatever books Srila Prabhupada has given, so many purports. But each purport, with that personal mentality, Prabhupada has given it. When Srila Prabhupada used to translate and dictate these purports, sometimes he used to dictate a lot and sometimes very less. So the person used to type, he asked him, how come that sometimes you do a lot of work in translation and commentaries and sometimes you do little work? Prabhupada said, when I am writing these books, before I give even one word, I meditate how a person who is reading this will take it. How he will understand what I am saying, what I am trying to convey, what transformation it will have upon his life. I am meditating and then I am giving each word. And these words chosen with so much meditation make this Bhaktivedanta purport. So if you read even one purport with that understanding, that how much of thought, how much of meditation has gone behind each purport, with that understanding if you read these purports, then definitely our lives has to change. If you take it one amongst the lot, then you won't be able to do justice when you are reading these books. So in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada, he makes this point. The translation is about Krishna speaking about knowledge. Jnanam teham sa vijnanam. Jnana and vijnana. Krishna is telling, this is the knowledge I am going to explain to you. And Prabhupada, in a very simple way, explains what knowledge is, what is jnana, what is vijnana, and who is the cause of all causes. In very simplistic terms, he puts together entire spiritual knowledge. And then he says, when the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known and nothing remains unknown. When the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known and nothing remains unknown. So one reporter, very famous story, asked Srila Prabhupada, you are a self-realized soul, so you know everything? Then, if you know everything, then you tell me, how many windows are there in Empire State Building? It's quite a tricky question. How many windows are there in Empire State Building? Now, how is Prabhupada expected to know this? So Prabhupada gave a very witty reply. He said, even if you are able to count, and even if you know the number of water droplets in a mirage, what is the use? What is the use? Even if you know how much water is there, how many drops of water are there in a mirage, because mirage is not real. That illusory water is not going to quench your thirst anyways. So what is the point, even if you know how many drops of water is there? So Prabhupada gave this answer because he had vijnan. He actually knew what is knowledge. So in this purport he says, complete knowledge includes knowledge of the phenomenal world, the spirit behind it, and the source of both of them. If you know this, you may not know the details. Because if you know this, then your purpose is solved. To know what is required for us, that is important. Now if you see modern science also, it's the same principle. Now modern science, people, the scientists, they analyze. The whole modern scientific process is built around a process of acquiring knowledge called rational empiricism. That is, with the understanding that everything can be understood using our senses and the mind. Now actually it's not a fact. It's like a dog. What is the speciality of a dog? Smelling. You know, it has got that special quality that it can smell and find out things. Very strong smelling sense. Each animal has got a speciality. An eagle, it has got a strong vision. A dog, it has got strong smelling power. And so in the police squad, what they do is they train the dog so that it is able to smell particular things which is required for them to track down the criminals. Similarly, just like every species of life has a special character, human being has a special character of rationalism. That rational intelligence he has. And what is modern science? Just like a dog is trained to catch criminals, that rational intelligence is trained
to think in a particular way. That's what modern science is about. Now, just because a dog is trained to smell certain things, and just because a dog is trained to catch certain criminals, does it mean that simply by smelling, the dog can find out everything in this world? It can understand all knowledge simply by smelling? Is it possible? Not possible. It has got its limitations. So similarly, human beings have this special character of rational intelligence, and you might train that intelligence in a particular direction doesn't mean that simply having this special quality you can understand everything, all knowledge in this world. It is ridiculous. If someone thinks that he'll gain all knowledge simply using his intelligence, it's like telling that a dog can gain all knowledge simply by smelling. Even if you train that dog in the best possible way, it can't do it. It has got its limitations. So modern science, yes, the dog, when it is trained, it can track down certain criminals and do some useful activity using its smelling power. So similarly, when modern science, it uses the intelligence, that rational intelligence, to analyze the world around, to break down and analyze, asking the question, why this, why that, why not this, why not that, what is the cause of this, what is the cause of that. That's how the mind is trained to question the critical thinking, critical analysis it is called, with a rational way, trying to know why behind everything. That's how the intelligence is trained in the field of modern science. And by training the intelligence in that way, undoubtedly, modern scientists have achieved a lot of things. If you look at the world around you, the lights, the cars, the aeroplanes, television, computers, it's all the result of a trained intelligence, of trained rational power of the human intelligence. Yes, we have got results. At the same time, we should remember, just because we have achieved some things doesn't mean that we can gain all knowledge simply by training our rational intelligence. That's not possible. It has got its limitations. Anyways, now the scientists, when they analyze things, they ask this question, why? And they try to break down. That's how they're trained. Especially, the training starts at college level. So when there is competitive examinations, those who give competitive examinations, they're trained. If you're given a problem, don't simply apply a formula. Think why this problem exists. Understand the root of the problem. And then when you're able to find the root of the problem, then solve it. So a simplistic approach is denied often in modern science. When it comes to research, a simplistic approach is condemned. Don't be simple. Be critical. Analyze. Ask questions why and go deeper into the subject. Don't remain on a superficial, simple platform. Isn't it? At the same time, what is the result of modern science? Trying to make the world as simple as possible. You see the advertisements all over the place, which is a result of modern science. The goal is to make the world as simple as possible, actually. At least they are trying. You simply push a button and so many things will happen. Simply press a button and the TV will start. Take this piece of metal, put it, and you'll be able to start the internet anywhere. So the end result is simplicity, even though the method approach is Don't be simple. Analyze more and more and more and more. Now, even those who are researchers, who are into analysis, if they don't shift to simplicity in their everyday life, they're going to be in trouble. Like it is said, one professor in IIT, he was speaking to students and he was joking that an IITian, he has often difficulties if he gets into love affairs. Why? Because if he's in love with a girl, if he tries to give a rose to that girl, then he'll start analyzing. Why rose? Why not some other flower? And why through a rose I should express my feeling? Why not through some other means? Because his method of thinking has been so trained that he cannot think in a simple way. So oftentimes these researchers who are too much into science, too much into research, they become a little crazy. Like there was one professor in IIT, while walking on the corridor, there is a long corridor and then there are departments on both sides. So while walking on the corridor, when he had to turn to his department, he used to show the signal like this, as if he's going on a vehicle. He used to show the signal and then take a right turn and then enter the department. So many times these people, they become little off. They become little crazy. Why? Because unless they become simple again in their everyday life, they cannot remain calm. They cannot remain normal anymore. So when they are in their everyday life, most of them, they stop analyzing. They are into sense enjoyment like anything. But when they are in their laboratory, they keep their simplicity apart. They throw the simplicity outside the window and they start analyzing very critically. Why? And actually, even on the path of spirituality, we can adopt this very important, interesting principle. Now the Srimad Bhagavatam says, what is the characteristic of intelligence? Samshayo atha viparyaso. Intelligence has five characteristics. And the first characteristic of intelligence is to doubt. Samshaya. Because only when we doubt, can we progress on the path of spirituality. We have to doubt. I'm looking for happiness in life, but I'm not able to find happiness. I've tried so many means by the routine methods of finding happiness, but I've failed every time. Is my approach the right approach to life? Or should I change my approach? Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. So then when such a person, he starts doubting his material way of living, he comes across the scriptures, and from the scriptures he comes to know that actually doubt if you are the body. Maybe you are not the body, maybe you are something else, because you have been trying to satisfy the body but you are not finding happiness. So maybe you are not the body. Then who are you? You are the soul. What is the requirement of the soul? What gives satisfaction to the soul? That is given in the scriptures. How to gain spiritual knowledge? Through parampara. So one has to be very, very critical when one starts on the path of spirituality. Trying to understand which is the right method, which is the right spiritual path. One has to use that analytical. Srila Prabhupada used to say, I don't recommend blind following. No. You have to be very, very critical. Oftentimes in India, people they are so simple, any person claims to be God and they worship him. Prabhupada didn't recommend it. He said one has to use his intelligence to understand what is right, what is wrong. From the scriptures, with critical analysis, one has to be extremely shrewd to understand these three things which Prabhupada is telling. Knowledge of the phenomenal world, the spirit behind it, and the source of both of them. To understand these three things, one has to use his analysis. Then, when he uses his analysis, he comes to understand that I am soul, I am part and parcel of God. This is the knowledge given in the scriptures. And Krishna, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. This is the knowledge one gains by this process of analysis. But then, when it comes to application of knowledge, one has to have a simplistic approach. For the realization of this knowledge, one has to be simple. Without simplicity, if we continue analyzing, analysis won't take us any further. Because this is, Krishna says, jnanam teham sa vijnanam, this applied, realized knowledge. And what is the process of realization? Krishna explains in this chapter, that is devotional service. This section of chapter, six chapters in the middle of the Bhagavad Gita, they deal with devotional service, application of spiritual knowledge. So till we come to this point, one has to be very analytical and very critical. But when one has to realize this knowledge, one has to change his mode to simplicity. Otherwise it is very difficult. Because our intelligence, it cannot take us beyond a certain limit. As I was giving the example of the dog. Its smelling power can take it to a certain extent. But beyond that, he cannot detect things simply by using its smelling power. So that is why Prabhupada is making this classical statement here. When the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known and nothing remains unknown. What does that mean? Once we understand who is the cause of all causes, then the knowledge that is required for application we have understood. Now we have to start applying in a simple way, and that is devotional service. Rendering practical devotional service to the Lord. And when it comes to application, unless we have a simple approach, we might go crazy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was instructing Sanatana Goswami, he described different methods which a human being can take in a civilized society. Different approaches to become happy. He gave the story of a person who was searching for wealth, and he approached an astrologer. And his astrologer told him that your father has left a great inheritance for you, lot of money, but it is underground. Now you have to look for that money by digging the ground. Now where to dig? Don't dig on the southern side, don't dig on the northern side, don't dig on the western side, dig on the eastern side, he said. Because if you dig in the other three directions, you'll find insects and wasps in one direction. You'll find a ghost who will haunt you in another direction. And you'll find a snake if you dig in the third direction, which will devour you. But if you dig in the fourth direction, you'll find the treasure immediately. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further explained that digging in the other three directions implies the methods of Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and the method of monistic liberation, impersonal liberation. And Jnana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared to a ghost which haunts a person. that mentality to analyze, asking why. As long as a person is haunted by this ghost, he cannot be peaceful. As I was telling, even the modern scientists, whose basic method is jnana, to gain knowledge of this world, if they remain too much in jnana, they go crazy. The ghost will eat them up. The same is true in the method of devotional service also. That this method of jnana is like a ghost which can haunt a practitioner. So Krishna is explaining here, jnanam teham sa vijnanam, applied knowledge, that is devotional service that is required. And devotional service is that great wealth. And to gain that wealth of devotional service, one has to be simple. So Srila Prabhupada, even though he encouraged critical analysis to choose the right method, once you have understood what is the right method, that is devotional service, one has to apply devotional service in a very simple way. So that is why, see, the greatest devotees of the Lord, the gopis of Vrindavan, what is their approach? The 10th canto describes, Ahuschate nalinana bapadaravindam yogeshware radivichintyamagadabodai samsarakupapatito taranavalambam geheshu jusham apimanasi udyat sadanna. Ahuschate nalina nab padaravindam yogeshwarai hridivichintyam agad bodhai. So gopis are simple women, and they are telling Krishna, O nalina nabha, O Lord, with a navel like a lotus, padaravindam, your lotus feet is meditated upon by yogeshwaras, the greatest of yogis, Hridi Vichintyam, from within the core of their hearts, and Agada Bhodai, by great, great philosophers. They are the people who meditate upon your lotus feet. Samsara Kupa Patito Taranavalambam. At the same time, you are the only savior of those who have fallen in the deep, dark well of samsara. And then they say, Geheshu Jusham Apimanasi Udiyat Sadhana. We are simple people. We are not great philosophers. We are not great yogis. But we are caught up in family affairs. Still, our request is, please appear within our mind always. And devotees who are praying in this way, in a very simple way, they were not great philosophers, not great yogis. But this simple approach to devotional service, and they are considered to be the greatest devotees. Similarly, Kunti Maharani prays, Tata paramahamsana muninam amalatmana bhakti yoga vidhanartam katam pashyema histriya. She says that Tata paramahamsana muninam amalatmanam, great munis, thinkers and paramahamsas, you have come to give knowledge of devotional service to them. Katam pashyema histriya. How can simple women like you understand you? She is expressing to Krishna her humility in this way, calling herself simple. At the same time, she is such a great devotee that her words are recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, in that particular purport, Srila Prabhupada glorifies this quality of simplicity, which is especially gifted upon the women. So women as a class, they are simple. They simply accept the greatness of the Lord, and they bow down before the Lord without any reservation. They got that simple heart of expressing their feeling to the Lord. And this quality of simplicity helps them make rapid progress. So similarly, any person who has to progress on the path of spirituality, he should not be simply caught up with the Gyan, but also understand the Vigyan. And what is this Vigyan? Applied knowledge. This applied knowledge is with a simple heart, channelizing our heart. Devotional service is the method of realization where the heart is involved, not just the intellect. With the intellect, one can simply analyze. But how can the analysis go? Ultimately, the ghost will eat us up. But unless we apply our heart, there is no sweetness that is derived from the process of devotional service. So now in the middle six chapters, Krishna reveals the unlimited nectar on the process of devotional service, which can be tasted and relished if one applies the knowledge which Krishna gives with a simple heart. Then one can actually gain the complete knowledge. Otherwise, the knowledge that is gained is stagnated. Because analysis can bring us only to a certain extent. Beyond that, analysis doesn't work. Thank you very much. Any questions? First of all, oftentimes what happens is most people who come to the path of devotional service are already trained in the path of rational empiricism because of modern educational background. And because that training is already there, the tendency is to apply it throughout. It is common sense actually. As I was telling, even a student, he understands, or even a scientist, he understands that he has to stop his analysis to be happy, actually. So most students who get into this very competitive, who clear these competitive examinations and who get into top class research institutes, once they get into the institute, they are more into making money. They are more practically oriented afterwards, rather than research oriented. Because research cannot give bliss. Even mundane pleasure can be obtained only when one adopts a simple approach to life. So one has to have this understanding that initially, when one has this ghost already, when one is already haunted by this ghost of speculation, one has to feed that ghost. It's like a person who tries to drive away ghost from a person. What is he called? Huh? Exorcist. First he asks the ghost, "What do you want?" You know? Then he tries to understand what the ghost wants. Then the needs of the ghost is met. And then the person is relieved. So similarly, when a person comes onto the path of spirituality, initially he is haunted by that ghost of speculation because he is coming from a modern educational background. So unless that ghost is fed, unless the needs of the ghost is met, you cannot actually address that person. Because the person is still shaken. So first, it is required. So we have got scientific preaching. We try to give an understanding. Can a scientist believe in God? And we approach the same ghost approach. that speculative approach. You analyze this, that. Through speculative way you can understand, see, God exists. See, you are not the body, you are the soul. All this is. That is all satisfying the ghost. But once the ghost is satisfied, then one has to stop feeding the ghost. One has to feed the soul. So after once the ghost is satisfied, when one understands that actually this is the process, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, this is the process of devotional service, and the method of realizing the Supreme Lord is by the process of devotional service. When one understands that, then one has to apply himself there. Even though the ghost is still haunting, still the ghost is haunting, but one has to stop feeding the ghost. One has to apply himself to. So, scientific analysis of spiritual phenomena can be utilized for the sake of preaching. For the sake of preaching, one can analyze in that way. But that analysis is not for us. Because one has to be convinced that science cannot take us beyond a certain level. It cannot take us beyond a certain level. There are limitations of modern science, serious limitations of modern science. And to understand transcendental phenomena, one has to apply the process of devotional service. Then, Vigyan will be revealed from within the heart. So when one is convinced that to advance, this is not the method. The method is simple approach to devotional service. So one has to utilize his intelligence to understand this. To understand that, one has to adopt a simple method of devotional service. Then when one wholeheartedly applies himself, then he tastes the nectar. Then he advances. Then the ghost, when it is not fed, it becomes weak and it dies in due course of time. Okay? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.